So, I had a perfectly good sermon, all prepared and ready to go. I was going to talk about the mother bird on the nest. And then Thursday afternoon, my whole focus got shifted. So, actually, what I'm going to talk about is the beautiful captive. I'm going to allegorize some stuff. And I don't know whether I've said this to you recently, but you always ought to be really careful about allegories, because people will allegorize stuff in scriptures in ways that are not sound. I will try not to do that, but I will warn you that I'm going to allegorize. And one of the things I'm going to allegorize is what happened in the garden. You've probably all heard part of this riff, but I will remind you, especially for those who listen online, about the difference between male and female, or masculine and feminine. Remember a couple weeks ago I was reading C.S. Lewis, and one of the things that he said, which I liked very much, is male and female is the biological expression of masculinity and femininity, which is central to the universe. The fact that there are boys and girls with different plumbing is simply the biological outworking of something that's much deeper. And God is masculine, the earth is feminine. So masculine is initiative and feminine is executive. So God speaks and the earth executes. God speaks and the earth brings forth. Similarly, humanity is feminine to God's masculine. So he created us, and we are then to be the ones who execute his will on the earth. All of humanity, male, female, boys, girls, ladies, gentlemen, are feminine to God's masculine. And one of the ways that you can recognize that is that the church, male, female, men, women, ladies, gentlemen, boys, and girls, is called the bride of Christ. And of course, the bride is feminine to Christ's masculine. I don't want to get this confused with male, female, boys, and girls, because that's not really what I'm talking about. So, now let's drop down to a biological level. What happens is the man gives the woman information in the form of seed. She takes that information, adds some information of her own, and then brings in material to make a baby. The amount of material contributed to a baby by the man is negligible. It all comes through the woman. And what that means is that the woman, and again, I've got to be careful how I say this because our culture is so screwed up about this. So the woman is interested in material things because she needs that to be able to do what she's designed to do. So let's pop back up a level now and go to the garden. Who does Satan come after? The woman. And what Satan is doing is trying to get her to focus on the stuff of the world, fruit that she wants to eat, knowledge, all that kind of stuff. So what he's trying to do is capture her for the world. And it's interesting, it's important that he goes after the woman and not after the man. Because again, in the garden, all humans are feminine to God's masculine. So when God separated male and female, men and women, that doesn't mean that men don't have some feminine attributes. In other words, men are interested in material stuff too, but not the same way that women are. In fact, one of the interesting things that I've discovered over the years is when a man is interested in a woman, is considered marrying her, he looks at, is she good looking? Is she fun to be with? You know, all sorts of things. What the woman looks at some deeper level is this guy going to be able to support me and my family? In other words, what does his bank account look like? And I'm, you know, being very basic there, but one of the things that is very sexy to a woman is a man dressed in a tuxedo standing next to a Porsche. I'm very serious. That a woman finds sexy, because what that indicates is, if we're interested in each other in other ways, this guy is going to be able to support me and my children, which is at the basic level the feminine function. Again, don't get me wrong. Men are interested in material stuff too, but that's because we are feminine to God's masculine, and so we also have to execute stuff for which we need material things. So, when Satan comes after humanity, he goes after the feminine or female side of humanity. And what he's doing is he is trying to get her attached to the world and focused on the world, and he succeeds. So then the man, Adam, and I've said this before, has a choice there. He can say, oh, big mistake, babe. I got another rib. We'll start over. He doesn't. What he does is he goes into the world after her because, as it says, she will be redeemed through childbearing. So without him, she is going to be barren. Without her, there is no way for him to have his ideas realized because she's the executive side. Okay? He's the initiative side, she's the executive side. Both of them need the other. The feminine needs the initiative so she can be fruitful. The masculine needs the executive to make his ideas come to life. So when he goes into the world to follow her, what he is doing, in a sense, is he is doing what Christ is going to do for the world. Now, that takes us to the beautiful captive. All that setup is by way of the beautiful captive. So what the situation there is with the beautiful captive, there's two laws of war. Law of war number one is all those ites that are in the land, kill them all. Nothing that breathes. But if you go to war with somebody else, go up to Lebanon or someplace like that, and you go to war, and you come up against a city, first thing you'll do is besiege the city, and you'll say, all right, surrender. And if they surrender, fine. You put them under tribute, and everything proceeds. If they don't surrender, you fight. And if you fight and conquer them, then what you do is you kill all the males. The females, the sheep, the oxen, everything in there becomes spoil. So in the case of the beautiful captive, this woman is a member of a town that has been conquered. At this point, she is a slave, period. But what God says here is, okay, you have conquered this and she's a slave, and bring her into your house, have her make your bed and sweep the floors and bake the bread and weed the fields, do all that kind of stuff. She's a slave, no problem. But if you decide, wow, I'd like to marry this one, then what you do is you bring her into your house, you give her another garment. You take her garments off of her and give her another one. You shave her and you allow her a month to mourn the family and the society that she's lost. That's the rule. So, the only way to get a beautiful captive is to fight a war. Beautiful captives don't volunteer. So, the only way that this happens is if you have fought a war and you've taken over the town and you've killed all the males. So, let's think about this in Christian terms. In the garden, the beautiful woman has joined the enemy camp. This woman is now in a hostile town. And what Christ does is the same thing Adam did. Adam and Christ both get themselves into a position to rescue her. Adam does it by also eating the fruit. Yeshua does it by coming down and shedding his blood for us. But in both cases, the masculine, the man, is getting himself in a position where he can redeem the feminine from the enemy camp. And she's not going to come willingly. In order for that to work, he is going to have to conquer the enemy camp. First time, of course, he came as the sacrifice. The second time he's coming with a sword, he's riding a horse, and he's leading an army in white. So the second time he's coming, he's going in to the enemy camp and he is going to destroy all of the males, quote unquote, and I'm being careful how I say this, and what he's going to do then is he's going to take the beautiful captive. And what's he going to do to her? He's going to give her a new garment, isn't he? It's one of the things that happened is she gets a new garment. And then there is going to be a wedding. Again, you all get the symbolism here. So you've got this town that you've just taken, and you've got all the women, from little ones to big ones. They're not all beautiful. So when Yeshua comes back, what he's looking for is the beautiful captive. There's also going to be the Whore of Babylon. There's also going to be Jezebel. And again, I'm not talking boys and girls. I'm talking masculine, feminine, and symbols here. So the fact of the matter is, the one who catches the eye is the one who is beautiful, whatever that means in the eyes of the conqueror. So Yeshua, when he comes back and he conquers, is going to look at humanity, us, men, women, boys, girls, ladies, gentlemen, feminine to his masculine, and some of us are going to be beautiful, and we are going to be given a new garment, and we are going to participate in the wedding of the Lamb. Some of us are not going to be so beautiful, and those are going to be rejects. So this beautiful captive thing is something that is set in place because Yeshua himself is going to need it. Just like a lot of these laws in the Old Testament, you read them and say, what is that for? Well, part of the reason is because God and Yeshua himself are going to need them. So that's an allegory. I told you I was going to allegorize the garden. So the allegory is the enemy, alien, whatever you want to call him, comes in, seduces the feminine side of humanity, takes us into the world, into the enemy camp. And by the way, that is not to say that there wasn't a man, a woman, and a snake, because it's allegorical. I'm not saying it didn't happen. But as an allegory, that's what's going on. And then God, Yeshua, sets himself up as masculine to conquer the place again and to take the beautiful captive out. And just like the beautiful captive, we're not going to come willingly. He's going to have to conquer the place. And then when he conquers the place, there are going to be some of us who, oh, well, you're not very good looking, but look at her. Obviously, we want to be the look at her. And again, boys, girls, ladies, gentlemen, etc. We're not talking biological here. We're talking masculine and feminine. So that's the allegory. So, what does that have to do with you? Well, it actually has a lot to do with you. And as Luke was reading, what was the first thing that was said at the beginning of the Deuteronomy chapter? When you go out to war, we're in a war zone. So when you go out to war is the day that you were born. That's where we are. We all have feminine traits and masculine traits, and that's why everybody is so confused right now. If it were a lot purer, there wouldn't be so much confusion. And the feminine part of you, the part that needs material to do its work, as I say, the woman needs material, protection, etc., to do her function, which is to bring forth children. And so what happens is the feminine side of humanity gets captured by the world because it's got stuff that we need to perform the function that we are designed to do. In the case of a woman, she needs food, shelter, etc., so that her body can bring forth a child. And in the case of men, we need stuff so that we can provide that for the woman we marry, and we also need that kind of stuff so we can do the thing that God called us to do. In other words, he put us into a material world. He did not make us spiritual beings. We're not angels. We got bodies. And as long as we got bodies, we are vulnerable to being taken captive by the world. So, when you go out to war, which is to say, when you're born, what you are supposed to do is you are supposed to conquer the enemy city and rescue the feminine that is trapped. And that applies to men, women, boys, girls, ladies, and gentlemen. That's the thing that we are supposed to be doing here as we are waiting for Yeshua to come back and do it right. So, as you're going out this year, pay attention to where you have been trapped by the world. And we all have things like that. We all have things that distract us from what we're supposed to be doing, and they are typically stuff of the world, because God is in heaven, the world is in your face. And so it's very easy for us to get focused on the stuff of the world, which is not in itself bad. It's only bad when you get captured by it. And if you're captured by it, then you need to be rescued. So the masculine part of each of us, your job is to rescue the feminine and get it out of the enemy camp and have it do what God designed it to do, which is to bear fruit for his kingdom. So as you're coming up to the holidays, and it's a new beginning for the year, what you ought to be doing is making a plan on how you're going to rescue the beautiful captive. Making a plan is masculine. Executing that plan is feminine. So as you are working and thinking and praying this year, getting ready to get up to Yom Kippur and the fall feasts, think about it that way. What have I surrendered to the enemy camp that I need to go get back? What about my life this next year is going to make God's kingdom better for my having been there? Those questions are masculine. The execution of those plans is feminine. So, at a high level, you can look at the entire Bible as the story of the beautiful captive. It starts in the garden and it ends in Revelation. The entire Bible is a story of God's coming in to rescue the feminine that has been captured by the enemy. Small level, you've got the same job. So figure it out and get ready for the fall feasts.